morning.
Good morning.
Happy Sunday. If you can, if you're too young to read the sign on the board behind me, children are dismissed at this time. We're going to be looking at 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 through 16 this morning. First Timothy chapter 5, verse 1 through 16. Verse 1, do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. Younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, in all purity. Honor widows who are truly widows, but if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return for their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God. She who is truly a widow, left all alone, has set her hope on God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. But she who is self-indulgent is dead even while she lives. Command these things as well, so that they may be without reproach. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Let a widow be enrolled if she is not less than 60 years of age, having been the wife of one husband and having a reputation for good works. If she has brought up children, has shown hospitality, has washed the feet of the saints, has cared for the afflicted, and has devoted herself to every good work, but refuse to enroll younger widows. For when their passions draw them away from Christ, they desire to marry, and so incur condemnation for having abandoned their former faith. Besides that, they learn to be idlers, going about from house to house, and not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not. So I would have younger widows marry, bear children, manage their households, and give the adversary no occasion for slander. For some have already strayed after Satan. But any believing woman has relatives, if any believing woman has relatives who are widows, let her care for them. Let the church not be burdened, so that it may care for those who are truly widows. That was a couple mouthfuls there. I want to introduce this by asking the question, have you ever heard of the game Would You Rather? Probably most of the younger generations have. It's a pretty weird game. Let me explain the rules. Basically, you ask a hard question, like, would you rather do this or this? And both of them you don't want to do. So you're forced with a decision, right? So one would be, would you rather eat a bucket of mayonnaise or a bucket of mustard, right? No, you don't want to do either of those, right? Gross. Yeah. Mayonnaise or mustard? I don't know. Mayonnaise or ketchup? You know? Ketchup or mustard? Ah, right? Yeah, peanut butter or mayonnaise. Another one is would you rather be without one leg or one arm? Ah, it's a tough one, right? Either ride a motorcycle or play guitar, or don't play guitar and be able to, not even be able to ride a motorcycle, or like unicycles are out of the question, right? Either way, so. I remember when I was younger, this lady, she just didn't get this girl, she just didn't get the concept. She's like, I got one. Would you rather eat spaghetti or lasagna? I'm like, that just doesn't work. Whatever. You don't get the concept yet. Would you rather? Timothy had some gray areas that he was concerned about with Paul. And he's like, it's not like so much a would you rather thing, but that's kind of a, I don't know, I thought it was kind of interesting. Small correlation. But Timothy was dealing with some hard issues in the church, right? Like, he looked at them as gray areas. He didn't understand like how to handle some of these things. And one of the main things was that he got frustrated with people, and he didn't know how to properly treat them, right? He says in verses 1 and 2, do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father, younger women as brother, or younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters, in all purity. So Paul was helping Timothy see these through these people through a clearer lens. Like, how do we look at our brothers and sisters in Christ? He's saying that Paul's telling Timothy, I see you're having a hard time here. I see you're having a hard time relating to people, right? How do you relate to people? Paul's saying, what clues me in about this is that you are complaining about the Ephesian elders not listening to you because of your age, which is what we talked about last week. They think that they are better than you because they are older than you are, and therefore they cannot be taught by someone younger than them. So listen to this. This is how you relate with people. Paul's saying to Timothy, see them as your relatives. See an older man as your dad, and an older woman as your mom. Treat a younger man as your brother, and a younger lady as your sister. And he says, with all purity, right? Look at them with the same eyes you would see your relatives. Like, you wouldn't look at your sister with lust. That's just weird and wrong and gross on so many levels, but that's precisely the message that Paul is talking about. You would look at your sister with someone you love, someone you would want to protect, right? Someone you want to see succeed. And the same goes with all these relationships. You naturally protect the people you love, right? And this is what Paul is talking about. So if we love others like family, we will treat them properly. Protect them. They are your brothers and sisters in Christ. Ephesians 6:12 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, right? It's something bigger than that. We're wrestling against something bigger than flesh and blood. We take things personally so often, and we do things in reaction to those things that we take personally. We stop talking to them. We write them off. But we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. There's something bigger going on. A bigger power. In verse 3, Paul says, honor widows who are truly widows. What does that mean? Widows who are truly widows. The text defines it. Paul says that the church in Ephesus should honor those. And what does that mean? I think he answers it in verse 4 and 5. He says, "But if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness in their own household and make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God." So, a true widow, according to Paul, is someone who has no one. A widow is left all alone, verse 5. She who is truly a widow, parenthetical commentary, left all alone, has her hope on God. So why is Paul talking about all this? What's he saying here? Like, why the big issue? Like, this is a gray area that Timothy had questions on. In Timothy's mind, it was a gray area, but in Paul's mind, he's like, there's nothing gray about this. He says, "I'm writing to you that you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God." So in other words, this is the proper order of the church. And we're going to look at this order. Why is this order the way it is? Why is there a certain order, a specific behavior for the church? It's how things are supposed to be. In verse 4, if a widow has children or grandchildren, the children of the widow are supposed to take care of their mom. And the kids are they're to make sure that their mother has everything they need. And if the kids are dead, for instance, then it's the grandkids that take care of their grandmother. If a widow has children or grandchildren, right? Look at this, how detailed this order is. Isn't that interesting? And the whole point of this is taken from the fifth commandment: honor your father and mother. So, like, Paul is echoing the fifth commandment. Like, he understands it well. Like, we're supposed to take care of him. And in doing this, we're honoring our mother, our widow. He says, this is pleasing in the sight of the Lord. Paul clearly had the fifth commandment in mind. In verses 5 and 6, Paul elaborates on what a true widow looks like. It says, "She who is truly a widow, left all alone, has her hope on God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day." In other words, a true widow is dedicated to God. "But she who is self-indulgent is dead even while she lives." What does that look like? Luke tells of a woman, her name is Anna. It says, "There was also a prophet Anna, the daughter of Penuel, the tribe of Asher. She was very old." There's not much of a nice thing there, huh? Like, they just get to the point, right? A man clearly wrote that, right? "She is old, like old as dirt." "She had lived with her husband 7 years after their marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. So we don't know when, like how long, but "she never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God," and this is talking about Mary and Joseph, "and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem." So there's a picture of what a widow looks like. This is probably like what Paul had in mind. Paul tells Timothy, command these things in verse 7. Command these things as well. He's saying, make these things clear so that institutions in the church will not be abused. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. There were people who took advantage of the services the church offered, right? Just like there are today. And Paul's saying here, make these things clear so that the elders know who to turn down these services to and who to not turn down, right? This is it's an area of discernment that Paul is giving to Timothy. An order of worship. This is the order of worship. Why is the order supposed to look like this? Why are there widows we turn down? Right? Paul's saying that if the widow is not truly a widow, in other words, if she's not truly left all alone, then she doesn't fall under those conditions. Right? So the church is something that we have to protect. The resources of the church is something that we have to protect. The church is responsible with what comes in. If we just simply unconditionally gave resources away to all and everyone who came into the doors of the church asking for money, our resources would be zero. And then there would be nothing here. We wouldn't pay the bills, right? There'd be no electricity. There'd be no heat in the wintertime. The church would crumble around itself. Crumble down around itself. So if we gave unconditionally to everyone that comes in, we would likely bring harm to ourselves. And this is why this order of the church is so necessary. There's got to be something laid down so that we have a path to follow. If the church is crumbling down and becomes zero, how are we going to reach the community? How would the local church, if it didn't take care of itself, how would we reach others? And this is why it's important, because we need to think about these things, right? Like taking care of each other and stuff like that. And like, how do we do it? We don't want to bring harm to ourselves. If it wasn't in the Bible, it wouldn't be important, right? If God didn't want us to know about this, He wouldn't have wrote it. He wouldn't have written it. Verses 11 through 15, it talks about the young widows, right? The conditions of young widows. I think Bethany and I had our fourth wedding anniversary last week. And like, you know, you think about all these things, you know, like if I went on a hike and a grizzly bear mauled me or something like that, and she was a young widow after that or whatever, then like, what would I want out of that? You know, like if I had a say in it, like after I died, I came back to haunt whoever was like, you know what I'm saying? But Paul says here, That young widows should remarry, right? He says in verse 14, so I would have younger widows marry and bear children, manage their households, and give the adversary no occasion for slander. Do you hear that? He's saying they should remarry because, they still have time. Their passions are not going to be dwindled away to nothing. Not that they are for older women, but he's saying, like, there was an issue back in the day, and it was about being on the list. Like, there was this list that Paul talks about. He says in verse 9, let a widow be enrolled if she is not less than 60 years of age, having been the wife of one husband, right? So there was this list, and the widow enrolled in this list, she had to fall under certain conditions. And the younger woman, the younger widow, they couldn't they wouldn't fall under those circumstances, because they would stray from the faith, or that they could if they were on the list. You see, whenever a widow signed her name on this list, it was basically a promise that they would never remarry again, so that they could continually serve the church. If you were on a list, if you were on this list, you're basically committing to serving the church for the rest of your life. And back in the day, they thought, any woman over 60 is not going to get married, because the life expectancy was much shorter then. It's a little different now, though, right? So Paul's saying, like, with this younger widow list, he doesn't want widows to sign the list, to sign this, be enrolled in this help, take advantage of the church for this help, and then all of a sudden get remarried. Because it would just cause another burden for the church. Like, they'd have to figure all this stuff out again, right? That's why he's saying that younger widows should remarry, because it will protect them from the failures listed in 14 and 15. In these verses, he says, I would have them remarry, manage their households, give the adversary no occasion for slander, for some have already strayed after Satan. So, like, my thing is, I would want Bethany to remarry if something ever happened to me, for several reasons, but this is one of them. You know, I think as a man and as a husband, I think we would all think this, like, if her new husband was a jerk, I'd be waiting for him with open arms when he got to heaven, right? So I could put him in a headlock. But seriously, it's a concern for order in the church. I really hope you guys see this. Paul is concerned about the growth of the church. And if we're just being careless with our resources in the church, then that brings a burden on the church. And this is the conclusion of it. Verse 16 says, let the church not be burdened, so that it may care for those who are truly widows. So we're supposed to care for those widows who are truly widows. A widow who does not have children or grandchildren, who is left all alone. And the whole point of this is that there should be no stipulations or unnecessary reasons to burden the church. For one obvious reason is that burdening the church just makes things more stressful. And it takes the focus off of the Word. We see in Acts chapter 6 where the apostles were getting complaints about the Hellenistic Jews, not their widows were not getting fed. So they appointed people to take care of this because they were concerned about the Word. They were concerned about the Word getting taught and like reaching the world. And secondly, people just take advantage of the good nature of others. Right? We talked about that in Sunday school, I think, last week, where I mentioned what the difference between panhandlers and people who are actually in need. I want you to see this verse from 2 Thessalonians. It basically says, if you don't work, if you're not willing to work, then you don't eat. And it's just crazy how some of us have presuppositions about what the Bible says, right? Love one another, love one another, love one another, right? What does that mean? Does that mean enable them? You see what I'm saying? In any event, we have to be careful what we do with our resources. Of course, there will be questions. There will be concerns about people. It just seems crazy that we read this, that there are actual conditions that people have to meet in order to receive from the church. We're not supposed to take advantage of others, especially in the body of Christ. I had a small business on the side, cutting trees and trimming trees, and this was on my business card. So anytime, you know, I'd talk with a Christian and find out where they're at, I would treat them a lot better because of this verse. Especially to those who are of the household of the faith. In other words, our Christian brothers and sisters, our brothers and sisters in Christ, they get extra special treatment. That's why we consider those in need in the body before we consider those in need who come in asking for money, right? It happens every week. It happens every week. I had two calls this morning asking for money. Like, there's a responsibility that we have to our body and to the church and to Christ. You know, we have to be careful with these things. Why? Because in the end, we'll be judged. And if you think about it, the logic that is in this passage, it is improper for people to treat others in the family of God worse than you would your own family members. So why would we be careless with our resources? Do you hear that logic? If we're supposed to take well care, we're supposed to take good care of our brothers and sisters in Christ, yet if we give all our resources away, how are we going to use the resources to take care of our brothers and sisters? How would we treat others in the family of God if we had no resources? It's improper order for people to take advantage of one another for unnecessary gain. And in the same token, it's improper for the church to be careless on both sides, right? I hope you understand the gravity of this. It's not something that's easy by any means. Even Timothy, he just didn't know how to handle these situations, right? And that's why he asked somebody else. He asked his mentor, you know, how do you do this? I have problems with this. Like, I want to help everybody. I just can't. How do you know who to turn down? How do you know who to give to? How do we treat each other? We look at these things and we just have questions. We look at these things in our lives and we just have questions. These things that we run into on a daily basis. And what's interesting is there is an order to the church. There's an order to the body of Christ so that this body of Christ may grow. Right? Do you catch that? We don't want to hinder the body of Christ. We want it to grow. We want, like, the body of Christ is something that is nurtured, is something that is fed. Why is that? It's because we want to become like Christ. He is our model. He is our example. He is the perfect example of what love really is. And we should be thankful for that example. And this is what Paul has taken all this from. The example of Christ. We have instructions for the church because Christ exists, because Christ was here and he taught us, right? There's a proper order, and that order is set in place so that we may grow in Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, who gave his life and who charges us to live for the church, to give, to... Lord, in Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, your word says that men should care for their wives, for instance, as Christ loved the church. What does that mean? It says that Christ gave himself for the church. And Lord, we pray that you just help us understand your word. There's an order for this that we may grow. The reason for this order is that we may grow. And we pray, Lord, that you help us to grow in our spiritual journey. We don't have it all figured out. I just imagine you watching us, you know, and I don't know. I'm sure that sometimes there's circus music playing in the background or something. Lord, we thank you for your patience with us. We thank you for your guidance and your love for us. We pray that you continue to guide us in spiritual growth, Lord. We pray that you help us to discipline ourselves. Help us make wise decisions when we come to these areas that just, they're tough decisions to make, Lord. Even Timothy had issues. Lord, help us to understand. Give us peace with the decisions that we make. And we pray that you just continue to bless this reservation, Lord, in your name. And make your name be great in this area. We praise you, Lord, and we worship you. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Stand if you will for one more song.